majority of us are, we're hanging on by a thread, and maybe something happened today, and we just need somebody to say, hey, you matter, and it's good to see you, right? And so I hope that's the case, and I'm glad to see all of you, because when I saw the snow and I started pulling my truck out and dusting it off, I started thinking, man, it's just going to be me and, like, Peter's going to be here. It's going to be it. And even Jack said he's astounded how many people came out. So that's a testimony of your faithfulness to the Lord. Amen? All right. So hot off the press. When I say hot off the press, this was probably given to me about 20 minutes ago, so there might be other soups back there. So how many people were waiting to hear what the soups were today? All right. So a few of you. There's chicken wing. There's Zuppa Toscana. There's carrot ginger. Potato and ham, turkey noodle, goulash, bean and ham, cheddar broccoli, chicken, bean and bacon, potato corn chowder, chicken vegetable, vegetable and black-eyed pea. Awesome. So there's plenty of choices back there. If you're a guest this morning and you say, what are they talking about? After service, we gather in the back. And we're going to have a super luncheon. We have lunches back there. We have soup back there. There's 15 listed. I know there's a couple other that came in probably a little bit later. And there's sandwiches. We'd like for you guys to join us and have some soup. It'd be a great time, some fellowship. And this morning we're on a time schedule because right after that we're going to come in here for a business meeting. So I'm only going to allow for about an hour's worth of time to eat and clean up. But if you're a guest here and you want to stay longer, you can stay longer. So, and you can have all the soup you want. All right, we're excited about that, right? Right? There we go. Okay. Luke chapter 14. How many were so happy that God put on my heart to preach about pride last week? Oh, man, that was a tough subject, huh? I heard more comments from people that led life groups, and even in my own life group. I think Dale looked at me and said, I'm mad at you, or I don't like you, or one of the two. And he's still probably still mad at me. Oh, okay. That was besides service. But pride is a tough thing to talk about, right? And it's something that strikes us up. It makes us more mindful, right? And we can get caught up in the thing of, should I be proud that I can keep my job? Or yeah, those things are good, right? It's when you start bragging and judging other people based on what your, and I'll put it in quotes, abilities are. Because ultimately, every breath every human being takes in and out and exhales is a gift from God. He knows the moment that heart's going to stop in your body. And at any time, according to the Word of God, he can say, gone, right? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing that he is not in control of. So just be careful, right? It's the biggest thing is be careful. And it strikes up in the places you don't even think it's going to be. All right. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. And this morning we're talking about you're invited. You are invited. So one of the wise guys in the crowd, one of the Pharisees, he starts in verse 20 or verse 15. He picks up what Jesus says in verse 14. Jesus in verse 14 says, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." So Jesus is telling them, you know, you're looking for the highest seat. You're looking to be the, you know, in charge. You're looking to have all eyes on you. And he talks about do things for people that can't do anything back for you, right? Do something for people that can't give you anything back. And then he talks about the resurrection of the just. Well, then he's there's always that one wise guy in the auditorium, right? In verse 15, "And when one of them that sat at meat and heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." So he immediately said, hey, but we're blessed of those of us who are eating the kingdom of God. So, and Jesus is going to talk about an invitation to a dinner, a supper, a banquet we're going to look at this morning. But let's go to the Father in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray that you'd be with your message this morning. We pray that you'd be with every person in here. I pray that as we read the word, the Holy Spirit would challenge our hearts and that we'd be welcoming to the Holy Spirit to challenge us, to convict us. And that we would allow the Holy Spirit not only to challenge and convict us, but we would surrender our ways to the ways that you are directing. And that we would be in line with your will. Lord, I pray, I thank you for those that made it out. And I pray that you be with those that couldn't. I pray that they would be able to get unburied. Lord, there's some that are here, but they can't be here because they're sick. We pray you'd help them with the sicknesses. Lord, we need you this morning. And so we pray that you'd meet with us. We pray that you would look down from heaven and just send us some special blessings. And Lord, I thank you for all your people here that are an encouragement to each one of us. We thank you for all you've done. Be with this preacher. Hide me behind your cross. If I was to say something that wasn't your will, Lord, I pray you'd take it from me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's continue on, because then Jesus answered him. And then he said unto him, a certain man. So the certain man right off the top is God, okay? So if you like to write in your Bible, I put God over certain man. He made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray have me excused. Another says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets, in the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servants, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So, invitations. What are some things, and here's a thing for you to look at, what are some things we don't like to be invited to? Parties? I was going to say it, but I get in trouble. Weddings, right? Weddings. A lot of ladies like weddings, but most men don't like weddings, right? What are some other things? I put this up here because how many of you love it when somebody puts you into a giant chat message, right? As soon as I get put in one of them, I'm trying to look for the escape button as quick as possible. Bloop, 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 right? Don't take it personal. But then your phone gets blown off. Blown up. My wife will say, well, you just turn off the whatever it is, the notifications, you won't get it. Yeah, until you open it up again, then you get blasted. So that's one thing, right? We don't like to be invited to messaging, group messaging. What else? I got another one, guys. How many of us love the Jack and Jill baby showers? That's something I'm going to blame the millennials for, because I know my generation, we don't want to go to a baby shower. We did one time here for everybody, and I'll never go to another one again. Men don't belong at baby showers, right? I don't care if I open up the diaper and it's a Hershey's Kiss in there or if it's a Kit Kat. I don't find it fun. I just don't. Or put the balloon in my belly. I already got a balloon in my belly. I don't need to try to pop one, right? What are some other ones? Got to wake you up a little bit. Huh? Car shows. See, there's one for the ladies, right? They're like, I don't want to go to a car show. Right? Us men, we don't understand that, but same thing with the weddings, right? What else? Anything else? Ball game. Oh. Now you're just meddling. No. Right. Yeah, ball games. Football games, basketball games, right? Baseball. Anything else? Huh? Funerals. Yes. Although, I'll tell you, the Word of God in Ecclesiastes says it's better to go to a funeral than it is to go to a party. The Word of God says it. It says it's better to go to a funeral than it is to go to a party, because at a party we don't think about what our eternal rest is going to be. At a funeral, at least you're face-to-face with what's going to happen with eternity. So, anyways, we get the idea. We don't like to be invited to, but then what are some things we do like to be invited to? We go the opposite. Men like to be invited to ball games, car shows, right? Ladies like to be invited to weddings. Ladies like to come up with group texts, right? But we like to be invited to some things. So here we have God is putting on a big feast. He's put on this feast, and he's invited all these people. So the first thing, and there's only 3 points. First point is this. God is the only one extending the invitation in these verses, 15 through 17. And there's a couple of points here that I want us to look at. Is a certain man, of course, I already said, is God. And I think it's safe to say that if God is planning a party, it will be epic. You hear me? The fog machine ain't going to break. The light show is going to be the best. If God's going to throw a party or a banquet, it's going to be awesome. And so if there's a party that I am going to go to, it's going to be that one. And so all too often as Christians, we portray our life as like going to a funeral, right? Sometimes we walk through life like, oh me, oh my, life is so horrible. But we can't. We need to show people that we enjoy life, that we enjoy what's happening in our lives, even though some of it's kind of scary, right? But eventually when we get to that great feast in heaven, that we're looking forward to that. So here's what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, the great supper of this parable is a lavish, spectacular image of the life in the kingdom of heaven. It's not just a meal, it's described as a great, literally mega banquet. Jesus called it a great supper because it was planned and executed out of the great love. It has met a great need and it costed a great price. So two invitations were sent out. So that's one thing we have to look at. In this culture, because they didn't have the freezers and systems we have, what would happen is the person that would invite, he would invite and give everybody a day. He'd say, all right, March 31st, this is when we're having the party. But he wouldn't tell what time of day he was going to have it. He wouldn't tell if it was in the morning or at noon or at night. You had to plan for it. So he had to send out all his invites, find out who was coming, and then he would prepare the food according. And then he'd send his servants out to say, okay, we're eating at the evening tonight, show up. So there was two sent out, one in advance and one at the party. In Israel history, God's first invitation came through the Moses and the prophets, and the second came through his son Jesus. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke through our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, though through whom he created the world. So we have to remember that God sent out the invitation. So in verses 15 through 17 and 16, it says, a certain man made a great feast and made many come, and he sent his servants at supper time and said unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. He sent it out. They're on their way. So the first thing we have to remember is God sends out the invitation. When it comes to salvation, how do we apply this? God sends out the invitation. He sends out the invitation through his word, through testimony of those around you, through his people that have been saved. He sends out the invitation that he is the only way, his son is the only way into heaven. That Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again 3 days later so that you and I could have access to heaven. He does the inviting. Well, that leads to the second point. God's invitation can be refused, verses 18 and 20. And they that were in one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, I have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So with this, the excuses are given. They all made excuses of what the Word of God said. We make excuses because we're preoccupied by things. In verse 18, he says, I got to go check out this land. Now listen, it's a pretty big deal to buy land. He would have already had to see the land. Nobody's going to just go buy land without looking at it, especially if you're a farmer of some sort, or you're a fool, right? So he says, I'm going to see this. Well, this is at evening time. How are you going to see the property that you've bought in if it's at evening time when this great banquet's going to happen? So we have to be careful because a lot of times things can preoccupy us and we don't answer God's invitation. God tells us something. He tells you, hey, what this preacher's saying about Jesus being the Son of God and my son and he's the only way to heaven, sometimes all of a sudden our minds can flip to something else and become preoccupied. Or us as Christians, God lays upon our hearts things that we should be doing, but we get preoccupied with things. With our children, with our schedules, right? I think the number one thing that preoccupies most believers today is their calendar, right? We've got something next coming. How many have nothing to do tomorrow with the holiday? This time, raise your hand. I'm not going to give you anything to do, I promise. They're like, he's game. How many have nothing to do tomorrow? Probably, right? Some of us, right? But a lot of people got to work. Then Tuesday, something happens. It's Wednesday, Thursday. So we got to be careful because this guy said, hey, I got all this property I got to overlook. I got to make sure, I got to go see it. I got to make sure it's okay. But that's not it. You knew that the invitation was given. You knew the day was going to come. And when the day come, you said, I'm too busy, excuse me. Can I tell you, that's the same thing we have to be careful with our salvation. And I want to talk to you because I don't know. It comes when you've been here 10 years and you see the same faces every Sunday, you can become kind of inoculated to thinking, well, maybe they're born again. Maybe they know Jesus. But I want to be careful because we don't know. I don't know. God and you know. But do you know him? He gives the invitation. We're all sinners. Everyone born sinners. We're already condemned. And the only answer to that, that condemnation is Jesus Christ and trusting in him. And it's a surrendered life that he takes on after. Have you taken that invitation? Or have you just refused it? Remember here, Israel had two warnings, it had two invitations. God's not under any obligation to tell us. We make excuses because we're putting a living before God. In verse 19, he says, well, I got these five oxen. Again, how many people go by, all of us, how many of us go buy a car without ever test driving it? Anybody? Some people do because some people buy those cars on where you can buy it out of a machine now. What is that vending machine? Carvana. Yeah, Carvana. You can like pick it out and bring it to you, right? But I'm going to drive it. I'm going to kick the tires. Just say I kick the tires. Anybody else? Right? You're going to look under it. You're going to sit there and, you know, not act like you enjoy it as much as you do because you got the dealership, dealer guy there and, you know, it's a game, right? You're not going to pay what he wants you to pay and he's going to make you pay what he wants you to pay, right? It's like this game. You're not just going to walk up and just order it or walk up and say, hey, I'll give you exactly what you want for your price of that car. Well, here this guy says, I got five oxen, and I need to go test them. I need to go prove that they can do what they can do. I need to go work my land and make sure that they're going to be able to take care of what I need them to do. We have to be careful because we can be about the living or working, and the work can keep us from being surrendered to God, right? And it can also keep us from being saved. We can turn our way back into the job. We can become so engrossed in our work that it becomes we're married to it. We need to be careful that making a living isn't put before God. God wants to be number one. Did you hear me? He wants to be number one. Well, then there's also, we have excuse because we choose to put others before God. He says, hey, wait, I got married, right? He blames it on his wife. Well, the funny thing is this festival, these festival, Jewish festivals, the women weren't invited anyway. The men were to go. And the only thing that got you out of going away after you've newly married was war. You didn't have to go to war according to Deuteronomy. But nothing would keep you away from going to this banquet. But sometimes we choose people over God. Sometimes we'll say, well, I could do that if my spouse would let me. Or I would surrender more if so-and-so wasn't in the way. Did you hear me? I would go to that church if so-and-so wasn't there. I'm leaving the church because so-and-so is there. Too many times we allow others to keep us between God. And oftentimes, I wonder how many times God's standing there saying, why are you taking it out on me? People today make the same mistakes as these people in the parable did. They delay in responding to the invitation because they settled for what? Second best. They settled for second best. Listen, if second thing is not the best thing, you're automatically in the bad place. The best thing is God. And here's another point. The point Jesus is making is not that God will accept lame excuses for rejecting his offer of celebration and abundant life. The point is that God will not accept any excuses, whether they're legitimate or not. Did you hear me? Billy Sunday was very famous for saying a saying, excuses are a skin of truth stuffed with a lie. We have to be careful. Because whether we have a legitimate excuse or not, God doesn't care. Well, I don't know if I could trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of this or because of that. Well, I don't know if it's the full truth or not. Well, get in the Word and find out. There's no excuse. Did you hear me? There's no excuse. Well, I don't know if I can trust in it because there's all these other religions. Well, get in there and find out. There's no excuse. And then Christians, what is it God's challenging you to do? Well, I have this happening and this happening. There's no excuse when it comes to God. He's either number one or he's not. Are you with me? Man, y'all are looking at me like I'm preaching on pride again. We serve a jealous God. We don't like to talk about that, right? We like to think that's the Old Testament God. He sent his very best, his son, Jesus Christ, to die a wretched death. A death that I think sometimes we just become inoculated at what it was, so that you and I would have the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. He gave his very best. He's a jealous God, and he deserves to be our number one. And he won't take number two. So thirdly, my final point, God is angered with our excuses, 21 through 24. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servants, go out quickly into the streets, the lanes and cities, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servants, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. The master of the house represents God, was angry. The parable tells us how God feels about excuses for rejecting his wonderful and costly offer of life. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoke by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by that that heard him? The good news of verse 21 through 23 is that we're on the guest list. No matter where you've been or what you've done, no matter how many times you failed, you are welcome to the banquet. Look what the scripture says. So the Jewish people were invited first, the Jewish men. And then Jesus makes sure to tell them in this parable, he says, look it, he's told the servants, go get whoever you can get, bring them in. And then they come in, and it says in verse 22, it says, they said unto the Lord, it's been done as you commanded, and yet there's still room. And what is God's answer? He says, go get more. Go get the ones that are around the corner in the alley. Get the ones that are drug addicted on the side of the road. Get the ones that are homeless in the streets. Bring them in. In the word compelled, you know what that word means? I want to look at the definition of it. It means literally to urge, pressure, force, bring them in. He wasn't just saying, go tell them, hey, there's an invitation. He's saying, pressure them to come into my party, come into my banquet. When I was reading this, Warren Wiersbe in his commentary said that D.L. Moody, one of his last sermons he preached before he died, a month later, he wanted to go preach in Kansas City. He lived in Chicago. Now, back at that time, to get from Chicago to Kansas City was by horse or by train. And D.L. could barely stand up because they believe it was heart problems without leaning against something. And everybody told him, you could take some time. Just go ahead and rest. You know, get healthy. You know, concerned. And he said, no, God's put upon my heart that I need. And he used this scripture, Luke 14, verses 15 through 25, or 24, to say this. I need to compel those that are lost in Kansas City that they need Jesus. And he went to Kansas City, preached his last sermon. 50 people were saved. He went home and died a month later. They said he leaned against the side of an organ, preaching as hard as he could to come, tears streaming down his face, to come. The banquet's not yet full. What a servant of God he was. So I'm wondering, two things. Are you standing outside the banquet? And when I say banquet, of salvation? And what's it going to take for you to come inside? I want to compel you to come inside. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to drink some special Kool-Aid. I'm asking you to trust in Jesus Christ's truth that he died and rose again for your sins. He took your punishment of hell so that you could be free. And then as a Christian, are you compelling those that are lost to come to the banquet? Are you purposeful with every conversation you have with somebody that you're trying to set up the stage to talk about the cross? Our brother will see in heaven, D.L. Moody, is on his deathbed, is going to Kansas City to witness to people. How many times do we just walk by him in the market because it's an inconvenience? We need to remember the banquet's not full. I don't care what's happening in Washington. I don't even care what's happening in Israel. I'm telling you right now, the banquet is still open and still welcome for anybody that wants to. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guess who the whosoevers are? You and me. You and me, the guy in the street, and the guy that's shoveling right now with his back hurting, and the guy at the homeless shelter, and the guy that's getting ready to inject his veins full of drugs, the prostitute that's getting ready to lay down with somebody, they're all the whosoevers. And the banquet's open. And God's saying, hey, servants, bring them in. Compel them to come in. So what will you do with that? There's yet room. Go and compel them that my house may be filled. So how do I do this? How do I apply it? Well, number one, God extends the invitation through Jesus, his son. That's the only way to get to heaven. The only way to get into the banquet, to get into heaven, is Jesus Christ. And you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, let's get in the Bible and look at it. Let's sit and talk. And let's pray. Secondly, those who accept an invitation, one day there will be the great supper. Revelation 19, verses 9 and 10, talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when our Jesus, who died for us, he's literally going to step down and put an apron around his waist and serve us at the great white at the marriage supper of the Lamb. God is angered with excuses. He doesn't want to hear our excuses. He just wants to hear our confession. Now listen, it's not that he's going to beat you up for it. He just wants us to get right. There's plenty of dance floor at God's party. All are welcome. Anybody like to dance? There's plenty of dance floor in heaven. And it's wide open. And when we're in heaven, we're going to be able to dance really good. If you reject God, he is under no obligation to revisit you and reinvite. Listen, I want to tell you something. There were so many times that I heard the gospel truth and I rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. I felt the pulling of the Holy Spirit. I would sit there in that chair and I would just grit my teeth and I'd say, I'm not doing it. I don't care how true it is. I'm not doing it. And my wife would be crying, and I'd be like, mad, stop crying. Just I want to get out of here. It's so hot. I don't want to be in here. I can't take it. And then finally, when that day came, that I said, you know what? I'm done. I can't run anymore. I know I'm not going to heaven. I knew that. There was no I've done good. There was no wait. I'm cracking hell wide open. You'd have to tell me that. But when the preacher finally said, face to face, one to one, what is stopping you? If you know this is the truth, what is stopping you? If you can't explain it away and the Holy Spirit's convicting you in your heart, why are you doing this? And that was the day I surrendered all. So you can run. And right now, you might be in the hot seat. You might be like, man, I wish this preacher would say amen so I can get out of here. But I'm telling you, God is under no obligation to reinvite you to the invitation. You've heard the truth. And the truth is this, Jesus is the only way. And where do you stand? And Christians, we need to get busy. We need to get busy telling people about Jesus and showing them about Jesus. Amen? Worship team's going to come, and we're all going to stand. And we're almost soup time, right? But this is the most important part of the service, is when your heart checks in with God's Holy Spirit and gets right. So we'll all stand. We're all going to shut our Bibles together. We're not going to allow any more distraction. We're going to tune in for the next 3 minutes. Because these could be the most important 3 minutes of your life. Where do you stand with God? Are you a believer? Are you a follower? Have you trusted in Jesus? Well, I think so. No, you need to know so. A think-so salvation could end you in hell, but a know-so salvation gets you to heaven. Let's get it taken care of today. I'll sit in here. I don't need to have any soup. We'll sit in here and walk through the scriptures if that's what needs to happen. You say, well, it is. You surrender. You say, God, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your son to save my life. I ask you to forgive me. I'm yours. Take me. Use me for your glory and honor. That's all it is a cry out of your heart where the Holy Spirit peels the scales away from it and says, here I am. But will you? And Christians, we need to get busy. Time is short, and we need to get the good news about the banquet. So as the worship team gets ready to sing, who will be the first to come up and pray? Right as everybody's looking. Is that true? Or are you just singing it? Pray be with George. Lord, you know what his heart is feeling right now. And so, God, I pray that you just help him. I know he's praying for those people that you've put upon his heart. So, God, I pray. I thank you for his smiles and his encouragement and telling me the different things going on. So, God, I pray you continue to use him. May he continue to invite people to church and be an awesome blessing to Joyce. Lord, I pray you just help him. Use him in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Everybody's head bowed and everybody's eyes closed. I want to ask a question, and I'm going to be the only one looking around, but is there anybody here that, man, the Holy Spirit or something's tugging at your heart right now, and you want to believe what I'm saying is true, but you're not there yet. But man, something's working inside, and you just need prayer. And I'm not going to call you out, but so I know how to pray. Is there anybody say, that's me right now? Is there anyone? Say, preacher, that's me. Is there any Christians that say, you know what, preacher? I just need some special prayer today. I couldn't even focus on the message because things are just chaotic in my life. I need a miracle today. Is there anybody raise their hand and say, that's me? Heavenly Father, I pray for these hands that are raised. I pray that you give them a miracle to show them that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whether the miracle is stilling their heart, or whether it's taking the storm away, I pray you would do it, Lord. God, I pray for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, maybe just don't want to raise their hand. I pray that this week would be the week that they'd be compelled to know you. We love you for all that you've done for us. Continue to just use us in your way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And amen. Amen. All right, we're going to be dismissed. I'm going to pray for the soup, which is all the way that back in the back. And it's 11:10 right now. We're going to be back in here with cleanup done in the back at 12:30 for the meeting. So that gives you an hour and 5 minutes to eat, talk, and clean up. Now, some of you are all like, that's too much time. Others are like, what are you talking about? So that means it's perfect, right? Heavenly Father, bless this food. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.